In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Tom was in his mid-40s, he woke up one morning with a lot of pain and stiffness in his leg. At first, Tom thought he had just tweaked a muscle or that it was a bout of arthritis. He hoped that if he just took a few aspirin and ignored it, that he would start feeling better. However, the pain would not go away, and he was finding it increasingly more difficult to walk. And though his wife encouraged him to go to the doctor, Tom kept putting it off, thinking that it would take care of itself with time. However, when it became clear that his leg wasn't getting better, Tom scheduled an appointment with his doctor. After running a battery of tests, the doctor gave him the news. Tom had a malignant bone cancer that was very advanced. And even with aggressive treatment, the doctor didn't give him much hope of surviving it. Tom was devastated. It seemed as though his whole world was caving in on him. He had no idea how he would break the news to his wife and children. And in those moments, he thought about all the time he had missed with his family because he was too busy working. He always thought that he had plenty of time, but it became clear to him that he never really had as much time as he thought. The next few months were difficult for him. He went back to church with his family, and at church he found some consolation and strength in his faith. He was glad to have the opportunity to get right with God. Tom had always intended to go back to church, but never got around to it. But knowing that his time on earth was short, he made an appointment with his pastor to go to have a talk, to pray, to go confession. And with a lot of prayer and through many tears, he eventually came to peace with his illness and made it a point to enjoy what little time he had left. And even as he declined, Tom would tell his family and friends not to feel sorry for him. He came to see his sickness as a gift. It helped him to see how precious life is, or life, his life was, and to appreciate what really mattered. Tom was thankful that he had time to enjoy what was left of his life on earth, and that he was able to realize all that God had blessed him with before it was too late. Time, my friends, is one of the most precious things we have. Time. And like many other things in life, however, we often don't appreciate it until it's gone. The gospel over and over speaks to us. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that the day catch you by surprise like a trap. So says the gospel. Jesus Christ is warning us that this world is passing away. Our lives are short, and we have much less time than we think. And no matter how we have chosen to spend our time up to this point, God never ceases to call us back to Him. God never ceases to remind us that we were created to live with Him forever in heaven. So from the perspective of faith, we can take a look at how we have used our time. And when we look at how we have used our time, we make a new commitment to what is most important. What is it that is most important in our lives? It is never too late to start over and to make up for lost time with God and our loved ones. St. Paul, over and over in his epistles, gives us a game plan for recentering our lives on God and His Word. What does St. Paul tell us? St. Paul tells us that we should increase and abound in love for one another and for all. We must remember that we were created by God with a heart that can only find fulfillment in loving others. If our activities are not helping us to grow in love, then our activities are useless. If we are too busy to show basic kindness to people or to help those in need, then we are wasting our time. In the end, my friends, we will be judged on how we have loved others. Everything else is meaningless. Everything else is meaningless. And so the first step to refocusing our lives on God is to cut out of our schedules any activities that keep us from loving others as we should. Cut out. Another thing that St. Paul tells us is that we should be blameless in holiness. God wants us to love him above all things. And as we look at this word holiness, I would love you, if you have the time, to find a book on holiness by Bishop J.C. Ryle. He was the first Anglican bishop of Liverpool. He wrote this book in the 19th century. It was a sermon preached in 1843 that is so relevant today. Holiness. We should never be so busy that we don't make time to pray. We should never be so busy that we don't find time to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. We should never be so busy that we don't make time to partake of the Lord's Supper. If we let that happen, we will lose sight of the whole reason why we exist in the first place. And if we use our busy schedules as an excuse to indulge in other things, then we are really missing the mark. The church wants us not to miss the mark. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism and in confirmation to make us holy as God is holy. And so the second step, my friends, to regaining a meaningful life is to cross off our calendar any activities that keep us from attending Holy Communion, from praying regularly, or which are leading us to sin. And the third and last thing that St. Paul tells us is that we should act so to please God. What is this all about? When we look at how we are choosing to spend our time, we should be asking ourselves this question: is what I am doing pleasing to God? Is what I am doing pleasing to God? We will only have success in life when we are acting in accordance with God's plan for us. If we are doing something which is against God's will, we'll face nothing but failure and frustration. On the other hand, when our lives are harmonized with God's word, things work out for us. When our lives are harmonized with God, we find the strength to overcome whatever obstacles we face. Our lives become less hectic and more peaceful. And it is not always easy to know what God's plan is, my friends. That is why making time for prayer, making time to read the Bible, is so very important. Without it, we can get lost pretty quickly. And so the third step to bringing our lives into harmony with God and with God's will for us is to ask ourselves whether or not what we are doing is pleasing to God. Today, my dear friends, we begin the 4 weeks of preparation leading up to the feast of Christmas. The festivities of the coming month will be keeping us very busy. But if we are not preparing our hearts with as much care as we are preparing our homes and our tables, then we are wasting our time. These weeks, these 4 weeks, provide us a precious opportunity to recenter our lives on God by focusing on love, by focusing on holiness, and by focusing on pleasing Him in whatever we do. None of us knows how much time we have left. None of us knows how much time we have left. Remember the story of the 40-odd-year-old Tom that I started this sermon with. Let us not waste any more of it. Rather, let us keep our focus on what's most important, and we will know the joy of this season more profoundly than we could ever imagine. Amen.